You're listening to the Sky-Fi Radio Network. Stay tuned. Good evening and welcome to Life and Times with your host, Jerry Yarrow. Yes, Life and Times, the radio program that examines the near-life experience of the almost famous and wrings the last few seconds worth of fame out of the measly 15 minutes allotted to us all. Tonight, your host, Jerry Yarrow, will talk to a man who's had the life of his time for careers in radio, films, and telephone marketing, and he's still changing with the times. So, let's meet him.
Well, folks, our next famous fall guy is still putting his art in cans from Canada to Kashmir. Winner of the Academy's coveted Good Sport Award in 1956 for excellence in Hollywood, meet George Leroy Tirebiter. Hubba hubba, George.
Thank you. Thank you. Very wonderful suit. To be here. Just
well, it's nice to
hubba,
see you looking...
Hubba, what a suit.
What a suit.
This is a suit. I don't see anyone else here wearing a suit. I had to wear a suit. Mm-hmm. Just because it's in the lines of the script.
Yes. Or in the pool.
Oh, well, then yes. I don't wear a suit at all.
Well, it's nice to see you looking like you're back on your feet again, George, and ready to play our little game again.
Well, I am ready to do that, yes, thank you.
George, first a tip for our viewers, maybe. Yes. How does an old man like you stay alive?
Thank you. I do try to get up every morning early and watch myself on television all day.
Do you have a special diet, George?
Well, I don't eat.
You don't eat?
No, but it hasn't affected my appetite.
Well, George, it hasn't affected...
Those little gorp clusters that they're offering around here. Yeah, you wouldn't have a pocket load.
Later, George. No. You won't want to eat in a minute. After you turn your back and get ready for this stab from the past.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, George. Now, you remember all those lovable, stupid Porgy and Mudhead movies you were responsible for?
Oh, my goodness. I really haven't seen any of those in some time.
No. Well, George, what are you going to do when the original Bottles, Mudhead's crazy hopped-up girlfriend, drops right through that celebrity trap door?
No. The woman's trying to kill me. I really... very nice meeting
No, you. No, George. No, wait a minute. She can't hurt you. She's dead.
Oh. No, wait a minute.
No, that's right, George. Bottles died in 1986.
Yes. But then how...
It's the miracle of technology, George. Arthur C. Clarke said any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
Magic, yes.
This is the Sky-Fi Radio Network.
Yes.
We are better able to take advantage of cutting-edge digital and purloined technology than dot-com radio is.
Yes.
We're sufficiently advanced now, George. It's magic.
Why, that's amazing.
Astounding.
And science fiction age. Let's give a warm galactic welcome to the actress who played Bottles, Miss Samantha Hill.
George, it's wonderful to see you again. I've been after you for years.
Oh, you see, I told you.
No, what's the matter here?
Are you sure I'm safe with her?
Safe as nuclear power, George. We practice safe broadcasting here.
Well, if you say it, there's a condom over my microphone.
You'll have a chance to talk to Samantha some more a little later on in the program. But first, George, we've got a few little ditties from your past that we'd like to inflict on our audience. We know that you were involved in films back in your early days, right, George?
Yes. I did a lot of radio work starting as a very young man in the 1930s. And I went to Hollywood in 1940, but at the time, during my radio program, they thought my voice, the voice that I now have that I had then, was too old for my looks. I was very young at the time. And so, well, they made me a director instead and kept me off the screen, and I was a writer, and then, of course, I was blacklisted, and, I could only be somebody else.
I'm going to ask you what that means in a minute, George, but first, we found one of those films that you acted in, and we're going to show it in its entirety right here.
This is not a nice way to treat all these fine people who came here to see the show.
Let's tell our audience what we found.
Jerry, digging through the dusty archives on Time's cutting room floor, we found what we believe is the last remaining copy of George's 1952 Mexican hatchet job of Mary Shelley's novel, Frankenstina del Monstro.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yes, you played Dr. Loco in that film, as well as writing the script.
Yes,
right,
I translated it from the Spanish. It was not very well written to begin with, and I don't speak the language, so somewhat awkward version of it. But Dr. Loco, listen, can I talk to you for a moment about this?
In a sidebar, George and the host step off mic for a short period. An animated, whispered conversation is seen, and an undisclosed amount of cash is glimpsed briefly as it changes hands.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes.
I'm terribly sorry. We seem to have lost that film.
Lost. Gone forever.
Yes, and it will continue to be lost for a long time to come.
Yes.
But we do have another rare item for you.
For heaven's sake.
Back in the 1940s, George had his own radio show called Hollywood Madness.
That's the one I wanted to tell you about.
He also had a regular show in The Further Adventures of Nick Danger.
Oh, we're going to do a little bit of that.
And he starred in a children's sci-fi series. We have a long-lost episode of that series with our guest George Tirebiter as spaceman Mark Time.
Oh, no,
so, Aldo, take it away.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. From across the wine-dark seas of space, out of the memory void, comes the star detective of the Circumsolar Federation as the Bowel Oil Company presents... The New Adventures of Mark Time! Today, Mark and his little rocket jockey pal, Bob Bunny, and their old friend, Dr. Technical, from the Time Lab, begin a new and frantic adventure, the Haunted Space Station. Let's join Mark now. Ready? Here we go, through Time Warp 2!
Dad, blast it, Mark. If I hadn't blasted my asteroid out of that war zone when I did and picked you fellas up out of the ice cave, you'd still be harvesting night soil for Prince Arcturus.
That's for sure, Doc. But Mr. Time and me just weren't cut out to be galaxy slaves, were we, Mr. Time?
To hear you boys tell it, the Federation Navy could have stayed home on the moon while we won the war single-handed.
Absolutely.
Single-pawed, in your case.
Well, that's plenty to handle in this old space tub, Mr. Time. I'll just set Chucko to get us home to the Time Lab by Thursday.
Thursday or Friday.
Oh.
Thank you.
Sure as my shingles, there ain't gonna be no excitement around this orbit for a while. I'll tell you what, Mark, I'm just gonna go crawl in my tube and get some shut-eye.
You do that. You go on too, Bob. I'd just like to sit up here for a while alone and keep an eye on the stars.
And so, several hours later, Mark's mental alertness snapped to attention, and he quickly adjusted the video controls on the panel in front of him.
What? I'd better get a closer look at that. There's not supposed to be any space derelicts on this run, and that looks mighty like an old hulk. Bob, Doc!
Solar flares, Mr. Time! What's the trouble?
You listen here, Mark. No sooner I get to sleep than... My, what's that on the video screen?
That's just what I'm trying to determine, Doc. Yeah. It's a round, spherical ship, and you can see it's been painted orange to show that it's an abandoned space hulk.
That's right.
Floating dead in the ether for some time, I'd say.
Well, that's a good guess.
Galloping comet's tails! She's turning on her axis, Mr. Time! And look what's on the other side!
It's incredible! Great hollow eyes and nose! A gaping mouth with huge teeth. It looks like...
Well, if you just ask me, Mark, I'd say it looked like a big pumpkin all dressed up for Halloween.
And we're heading right for that mouth! Help me recycle Chuckle's controls!
As if by an electro-harmonic magnet, Mark Time's ship was drawn inside the strange space sphere and docked silently in the black interior. Quietly, with no show of force, Mark and his friends crept through the airlock and tried to explore the inside of the seemingly abandoned spacecraft which held them trapped.
Oh, look here, Mark. This pile of steel plate is as dark and dirty as a Martian bar. Why, nobody's been aboard her since... Well,
since when, Doctor? Or do you see what I see? Drift over here, Bob, and take a look at this.
Golly gee, Mr. Time. A skeleton.
Right, Bob. And not from Earth's side either, by the looks of it. See here, Doc? Not enough fingers and too many toes. What do you make of it?
That's a mighty peculiar heap of bones. That's what I make. Come on, Mark. Let's blast out of here while we still got our own 1, 2, 3, 4 skins.
Har, har, har. Tremble me, timbers. Har, har, har. Is this the crew you picked for me, Mr. Moles? Har, what a sorry light of snipe they be. Get below and batten the hatches behind ye. There's a monsoon at our backs, lads. Har, har.
Oh, holy moon, guys, Mr. Time. What was that?
Gamma rays. I don't know what yet, Bob, but I think we're going to have a chance to find out. Look there! Our spaceship!
It's turning white as a moon bunny! Thundering lizards, it's gone!
Gone!
What will Mark and his frightened friends do now? And what does the ghostly voice from the past mean to do with them? Be sure and listen again next Fire Time, same fire station, to The Captain Has One Leg. The next thrilling adventure of Mark Time!
This is the Sky-Fi Radio Network. It's coming
soon
to a galaxy near you. Until then, you are here.
But we're taking you to another place with our guest today, George Tirebiter.
Well, thank you, Mr. Yarrow. Thank you all. I really think you deserve an award for that splendid program. You're keeping radio alive here at the end of the 20th century. That's a wonderful thing to do.
Well,
congratulations.
Thank you, George. You know, George, you received the Academy's Good Sport Award back in 1956, didn't you?
Yes, well, the people at the Academy, of course, I had been blacklisted. Found out that I was behind, actually, as they say now, the auteur, it means behind in French, I believe, the auteur of a couple of 3D serials at the time. Nomads from Neptune was one of them,
Yes.
Kind of least embarrassing. And the other was The Beast from Under the Bed. I'm really proud of that
one. I remember those. And for those, they gave you an award.
Well, there's no accounting for taste, but, you know.
That's for sure, because we're going to prove it once again, because we've got a reel from that terrific 3D serial, Nomads from Neptune.
Oh, where are you getting these from? I don't even have one of those in my archives.
It's magic, George. Oh. Can we roll that, Aldo?
I'm going to face the other direction.
Hey, Doc, what was that?
Starbats, Captain Jack. Starbats everywhere.
Ah, starbats? There must be thousands of them. Where do you think they're coming from?
I think they're from Uranus, Jack.
Those are fighting words where I come from, Doc.
Nomads from Neptune. Captain Jack Russell, Doc Ranger, and the mute but ever-present Smitty made an inaccurate late-night delivery of a refrigerator next door to the laboratory of the diabolical Professor Artemis Atavacron. What they inadvertently saw and accidentally put in Doc's pocket would unintentionally rip open the very fabric of space and time itself and send our heroes and the evil professor on a mad and desperate chase throughout every corner of every dimension of every universe, including parts of New Jersey, until finally they arrived on the desolate plains of the eighth planet to wage yet another final battle for the very soul of the galaxy. Captain Jack, Doc, and Smitty are Earth's last best hope in a treacherous cosmos. Last time, our heroes had crash-landed on the planet Neptune, repaired their ship, and resumed their escape. Now, they were about to crash-land once again on yet another desolate part of the planet Neptune. Here now is part 9 of Neptune in 3D, where available.
Doc, status report.
The oscillating ionic subatomic degenerators are busted.
Well, fix them.
Okay.
That sounds much better.
Ow! Hey, the Starbats are back! And they got Smitty!
Quick, break out the laser swords.
Oh! Take that, you ugly Starbat! Got one, Cap.
Good work, Doc, but I don't know how long we can keep it up. My sword battery is running low, and zap, you little monsters, die!
I know what you mean, Captain. We keep popping them, and they keep coming. We're gonna need reinforcements.
There aren't any reinforcements on Neptune, Doc.
What's that coming over that dune?
I don't know. It looks like either a brontosaurus or a Pontiac.
Hail, fellow space travelers. Are you in need of assistance from I, Velga, the nubile queen of the lost beasts, and heir to the three rings of Mendota?
Sure, pull up a sword.
Thanks, don't mind if I do.
Watch your back, by the way, Queen Velga. I'm Captain Jack, and this is Doc.
Hi.
What brings a nice girl like you to a planet like this?
Oh, that's the same old story. I'm waitressing a couple nights a week in this dump called the Whiskey Bucket in International Falls. And one night, in walks this Professor Atavacron. He makes a pass at me. I say, sorry, bub, but I don't go out with insane, diabolical, power-hungry, untenured academics. Every girl's got to draw the line somewhere, you know what I mean? So he takes it personal-like. And the next thing I know, I'm eating sand on Neptune. All I've got is one of the sacred rings of Mendota and Carl the Brontosaurus to keep me company.
No kidding! Let me see that. Look at this, Jack. Her ring matches the one I accidentally stole from the lab.
Yeah.
Holy Orion, you're the space boys I've been waiting for. One more ring, and we'll have the power of 10,000 lakes. Then we can... Watch out, Doc! Starbad at 10 o'clock! Doc!
Wow, that was close, but your dino took a nasty bat bite.
That's one gutsy, selfless lizard.
Oh, Carl. Carl, don't die.
Doc, this big fella saved our hides. Isn't there anything you can do for him?
Damn it, Jack. I'm a carpenter, not a doctor. The best I could do would be to give him new siding and build him a deck.
Then why the heck do they call you Doc?
Well, my mother had her hopes. She had her dreams.
Yeah, I know what you mean. All our mothers had their hopes, their dreams.
If only we would have listened, Jack. If only.
Wait! I could use the last bit of power in my laser sword. Hook it up through the potassium klystron inducer and use it to cauterize the wound.
Do you think it will work?
We've got to try something.
It's working. He is getting up. You are a mighty sorcerer.
Nah, just handy.
Then let me pay you back in kind. Come, be my guests at the fabled lost ice castle of Wabasha.
Oh, that's very kind of you, your nubile highness.
Your highness, are you really nubile?
Nubile is the day is long.
Let's see, it's about 16 hours on Neptune.
It's not really my 16 hours. Listen, I didn't write this. The dinosaur was not mine, you understand? Could just... A personal check, perhaps.
Another sidebar, another unfortunate financial incident. And then the host of Life and Times, Jerry Arrow, returns to the microphone.
Thank you, Aldo, and ladies and gentlemen. Life and Times will deny that you have just seen an episode from George Tirebiter's now lost Nomads from Neptune.
Permanently lost.
Yes. From 1995 in 3D. Our guest to be here has been George Leroy Tirebiter. Let's hear it for George. Yes. And our other guest has been Samantha Bottles Hill, star of radio and films. A nice round of applause for Sam. Yes.
Well, is this my line? I'm sorry. Oh, Samantha, it's been... I love the way they write these lines for us to be personal and close, you know. Samantha, it's been lovely seeing you again. I would have rather have thought of it myself, but it's right here. Even under these rather bizarre circumstances.
Well, bizarre perhaps, but you know, Georgie, I'm into rather otherworldly pursuits now.
Yes?
But you know, you're not getting any younger.
Well, dear.
Have you thought of retiring permanently?
Oh, God, this woman is trying to kill me. You see, I explained it.
George, I'm talking about investments. Have you got any disposable cash?
No, actually, since I bought two of my old movies tonight, I'm a little short.
That's what I'm talking about. Movie theaters throughout the universe playing your movies.
Yes.
Picture Porgy and Mudhead. In Andromeda.
Oh, yes, that's good. Well, wait. Going on the road to promote my book, well, that's one thing, but traveling from galaxy to galaxy to save my reputation? No, that could kill me. Wait a minute, it could kill me. You've done it, you see? I told you it was this. Well,
this has been Life and Times, where you've just headed off the comeback trail of another near celebrity. Join us next week when we might do the same to you. Good night.
Life and Times is a production of the Sky-Fi Radio Network, so watch out because it's coming
soon
to a galaxy near you.